So 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 50 to 57, you can find that on page 1156 of the Pew Bibles. I declare to you, brothers, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does the perishable inherit the imperishable. Listen, I tell you a mystery. We will not all sleep, but we will all be changed. In a flash, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet, for the trumpet will sound, the dead will be raised imperishable, and we will be changed. For the perishable must clothe itself with the imperishable, and the mortal with immortality. When the perishable has been clothed with the imperishable, and the mortal with immortality, then the saying that is written will come true. Death has been swallowed up in victory. Where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God. He gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. And we give thanks to God for the reading of his word to us today. These are words of words and meaning. And this week, we're thinking about how we can win. We live in a society that wants to win, whether it's in sporting endeavour or whether it's in other fields. But winning somehow isn't enough, because once you've won, there's a temptation, there's a desire to want to repeat that process, to accumulate more and more wins in whatever that might be, whatever it might mean. That may be true of life, it may be true of our human nature, but it's not true of God. There's one word, tetelestai, a word that Jesus uttered at the very point when his life was given up. It's a Greek word. It means it is finished. A total finality. In other words, a victory was won. A victory was grasped. And it was once and for all. It is finished. There's no temptation for God to want to do it again. There's no need for God to do it again. It is done in its entirety. And what has been done is a way for us to know God, to enter into his presence, to know the benefit of his being in our being, of him leading and guiding and shaping and forming and making sense of the life and the existence that we have. And so a victory has been won. And that Greek word, tetelestai, sums it up in its entirety. So you are a victor in Christ. Whatever you might face might not be perfect in this life. It may be difficult at times. And yet, because God can come into our lives, because of that word tetelestai, there is victory. There is a way. And that way has been made for you and for me, but for others, for all who would come and believe, for our community, for our society, and for the world at large. And so next time you're watching sports or whatever endeavor it might be. And there's a desire to enjoy the win, but then want to repeat it once again. Remember that when it comes to God, one victory was all that was ever required. And it's been completed. Totally. Always. There are two ways to jump, and it's no surprise to know that up and down is one, whilst over a distance is another. In sporting terms, both can be achieved, but there are other ways that might apply. Think about jumping in relation to life, and certain people come to mind. There are those who do jump up and down, no matter what. It might be a point of view. It could be an injustice. Then again, it might be about an issue or problem, a lingering hurt or an ongoing dispute. Whatever it is, their voice will be heard, and the same topic of conversation is likely to come round again and again. Then, in faith, it can seem as if it's necessary to jump up and down. There's a sense in which we feel unworthy, but don't want to admit. There are times of failing and temptation which are difficult to overcome. Times when it seems that there's a level of expectation difficult to achieve. The pressure of a sense of duty which remains unfulfilled. Feelings of guilt that we're not all that God would have us be. And an underlying fear that no matter what, it will never be enough. Add that to the sometimes ups and downs of church life, and it seems as if there's little room for manoeuvre. But jump in a different direction, and it's a different matter. For first, there's the realization that God has made a leap on our behalf. Second comes the realization that we can make that leap too, because of Him. And third comes the understanding that Christians are well placed, if not best placed, to leap in ways that will have lasting impact. At the heart of this lies a lesson. It's that it's not enough to just jump up and down, whether it's in life or in faith. And if that's what you've been doing, then a change is required. One that affects the mind as well as the heart. One that brings release and freedom. One that enables a newfound liberty that can be savoured and enjoyed. That's the story of the early church. History taught that the Jewish faith would follow patterns and behaviour of worship. And tradition had declared that these be followed strictly. Yet Jesus came to change it all. His coming involved being the embodiment of God. And His coming became the fullest expression of God. His love, His intention, His purpose for all who believe, for the world and all it contains, making Jesus' life, death and resurrection, His incarnation and His ascension, a jump, a leap in a new direction. one that reached further than ever before, and much further than we could ever hope to achieve ourselves. And it's that leap which the Apostle Paul wrote about. For that leap takes us into the future, into an eternal hope. It's a leap that enables us to enter into the kingdom of God, as well as to inherit the kingdom and all that that means. It's a leap that breaks the power of all that would seek to hold us. It's a leap that enables the living of a different kind of life. One that can influence more. One that can bless more. One that can help more. And one that can declare the salvation of God all the more. All based on something that we could not do and cannot do of our own accord. Be at one with God and enter into all that He has for us. And so Paul based his understanding, his theology, on the leap that God has made through His Son, and on the understanding that He will return, making what was once impossible possible. All of which brings a different view of life as well as death, inspiring hope. For now there is no separation from God. And now it is possible to know the power of forgiveness. More than that, the promise of God's presence, His activity, and more than that, the promise that death no longer is the end. And so what we read in 1 Corinthians is that nothing can stop the Christian. No longer is there an end, even although death may still be faced. And when that is known, when that is experienced, the possibilities are endless. Like many, the Corinthian believers had different ideas about the end. What would death involve? What would it mean? What were the implications? And although Paul believed that his generation would see the return of Christ, there is a message for every Christian and every church. In fact, anyone who believes, wherever they might be, for what holds us, what has held us, what so often controls us is made redundant. Its power, its effect, gone. For rather than perishing, there is a promise that we will each be transformed, made fit for a new world, along with a new kind of life which goes with it. But the challenge to all who come and to all who listen is to take hold of this new reality. More than that, to accept, to believe, to know that God has done what He's done and meant what He has said. That means accepting that in our human state we are in need, that we're not invincible, that we're not self-sufficient, and that we don't have all the answers. Yet as Jesus is known, we are changed. We can be changed now, and we will be changed then. And when that takes place, Paul says that the scripture is fulfilled. It applies to Isaiah chapter 25 verse 8 and Hosea chapter 13 verse 14. But what about other scriptures? What about the power of those scriptures? And what about the potential for them to be unlocked, unleashed, all because someone believed? For if death is overcome, then all things are overcome. And if you and I take hold of that and what God says, then that will enable God's power to be more apparent, to manifest itself more greatly within us and around us. All because of our joining with God and coming into agreement with Him, which takes us to a place of life and living. A place where problems may well still exist, where challenges may not go away, where illness might beset, and where we may well still falter at times. Yet, where there is victory, so that no matter what, you and I know within that all is well. That is the equivalent of jumping a great distance, of launching out in a direction that we had not known before and had not gone before. Adopting a different approach through faith in Christ. And in it all, the victory is that of Jesus. Yet we are invited to share in it all. To know it for ourselves, not just through familiarity or by way of intellectual awareness, but as a reality, as an experience, knowing that the life of God within us simply continues, that He can always be known, and that we can always know Him. That's a message that should make us jump. It may be up and down, but it also needs to go further. Further than we've gone before. For that's God's desire for you and for me. As the people of the church, make the church and enable the church and play their part in the church, ensuring that the church fulfills all its potential wherever it might be. For there is nothing else like it, and nothing else can be like it, for it has a message like no other. One that can take you from wherever you are, whatever that means, causing you to leap hand in hand with God into all that He has for you. Giving all that is done and all that is said a new found purpose, a greater meaning which can inspire us now as well as for the future. Let us pray. Lord, enable who you are to be known by us. What you've done to be experienced by us. And what you intend to be grasped by us. For this is our prayer, spoken in Jesus' name. Amen.